Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, June 21st, and it is draft day. Should be an exciting one around the NBA, not really for Pistons fans. And welcome to Detroit, also to Dwayne Casey as the coach. Met with the media on Wednesday. This is your boy, Matt Shook, an AP writer in Chicago, covering the NBA, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. Today, we are going to talk about Wednesday's Dwayne Casey press conference. Also talking about Malik Rose. Who is he? And what kind of young, up-and-coming executive is Ed Stefanski and the Pistons apparently getting in bed with as far as coming on board with the new front office with the Pistons? Reports that Malik Rose could be soon officially coming to Detroit. And today for Pistons playoff playback, going back to 2005, one of the best wins of the going-to-work era, as the Pistons playoff playback segment is only 2 days left, as we'll have another one tomorrow as part of our post-draft coverage as well. I have a lot of thoughts about Wednesday's Dwayne Casey press conference, and we'll start there today. Let's start with some of the maybe the small picture things. I thought Coach was very likable. He hit all the things that you wanted to hear from him. It's a guy who's hard to put in a box, and maybe I'll expound upon that in future episodes as we get more into the Dwayne Casey hiring. But the narratives are tough to find with him. He's a hard-nosed guy by all accounts, but also a very likable guy on all accounts. Kind of checks off a lot of the boxes in a good way, but for us in the media, it's kind of hard to put him in a box as far as what kind of coach is he? Is he a player's coach? Is he a media-friendly coach? Is he all those things? Is he a soft guy? Is he a tough guy? What kind of systems does he run? You know, in Minnesota, he ran a lot of the post stuff, and then with the perimeter-oriented stuff in Toronto, but sounds like an adaptable, kind of a different kind of guy in a lot of different ways, and I think that's a good thing for the modern NBA, but his leadership in Toronto was certainly something that was lauded by everyone around that organization and media as well. So, again, we'll talk more about the interesting case of Dwayne Casey going forward, but like I said, seems like a good guy, very likable, called media members by their first name, complimentary about the Pistons organization, and believes that they can be an upper echelon team in the East. All the things that you'd expect a new coach to say, and all the things that probably has the cynical and maybe the average Pistons fans rolling their eyes a little bit with the state of the organization and these days, and the belief that the future might be going nowhere in some ways. But I thought another interesting point was that Henry Ellenson was mentioned many times throughout the press conference by Stefanski, by Dwayne Casey and Tom Gores as well, and not Reggie Bullock, a 27 or 28-year-old guy who had a breakout season this past year, a starter for pretty much the whole second half of the season, and was really one of the bright spots of what was a disappointing season in a lot of ways last year, and no mention for the young shooting guard who was really one of the surprises of the NBA, a nice asset for the Pistons with 1 year left on his deal, assuming that they pick up the team option, which of course they will. There'd be no reason not to do that for the Pistons. I saw on Twitter one fan describe the press conference as one of the most bizarre press conferences he's ever seen. I think that's a little bit overstating it. It was a little bit weird. But to that I say, do you remember Rod Marinelli with the Lions? I mean, everything was a bizarre press conference with that guy. But I think bizarre-wise, what they must be talking about is for the presser is Tom Gores. He's a weird, eccentric kind of guy, and the heat is kind of coming a little bit from the Detroit fans and the Detroit media these days. The Sharks are circling, as kind of happens when you start making your second big hire of a coach, your second big hire of a front office, and you know, things are kind of, and obviously you don't fire an owner like you can with the front office or coaches or anything like that, but you know, Pistons fans and the Pistons media, it's getting a little angsty right now after, you know, all these years of disappointments that this organization has kind of given us, and looking back at the Stan Van Gundy era with the disappointing way that it ended these last couple of years as well. Gore has kind of bristled at even needing any more players when talking about the draft tonight. Was a strange moment there. He said, you know, we don't need any players. We got a good roster right now. Obviously, that's not true. They need and they want the second round pick that they have tonight. And Ed Stefanski knows that, and everyone knows that who follows basketball closely. But it was kind of said as a statement of confidence and, you know, the pride of Tom Gores coming out, kind of a clumsy way that to say those kind of things. And the weirdest moment, the one on Twitter that maybe I wasn't and a lot of the people were talking about, was Pat Caputo of the Oakland Press, the columnist, and one of the guys on 97.1 The Ticket Sports Radio as well. You know, so many of the questions, by the way, came from 97.1 The Ticket, you know, the writers for the website, you know, and everyone like Pat Caputo and like Wojo, yeah, they write for the Detroit News and the Oakland Press, but they also are on the radio. So it just kind of reminded me of the monolithic way that that station kind of dominates Detroit coverage, being that we got, you know, a one sports radio station town right now after years of having two at times in the market. And then the newspapers kind of slide from their relevance as time goes on. The Detroit Free Press, I know Sean Windsor and Jeff Seidel are columnists there, but not really a strong voice for the Detroit Free Press sports section these days in terms of a guy that you'd think of as the even the contrarian in some ways, like Drew Sharp was when he was around with the Detroit media. So kind of a different time, a different thing, and I think that's kind of the changing landscape of media in some ways too. And I've been away from Detroit for 8 years. I'm moving back next week, as I talked about yesterday's show. And when I was gone a lot, especially with the Pistons and the irrelevance they've had over the last decade, and maybe when I mentioned the angst of Pistons fans, maybe it's just me paying closer attention to it over this past calendar year than maybe I had over the years before that. But I didn't consume a lot of this stuff media-wise every single day. I wasn't listening to you know, 97.1 The Ticket live, obviously, and I'd consume a little bit of the podcast, but now I'm a, you know, daily listener of the Jamie and Stoney podcasts in the morning, and Valeni and some of the other guys at times as well, and I'm reading all the stuff from the news and the Free Press websites and all the Twitter chatter from all the fans. And it's a little bit depressing, to be honest, to see the Detroit media landscape and kind of having to being forced to fall back into that as someone who's going to be back in the Detroit media and back into the as a consumer and a producer as well. So we'll see when I move back if we're able to maybe do something to positively contribute to that in my own small way. Not just, I don't mean that with positive coverage that, you know, puts sunshine on some decent or bad or at least kind of bad situations in Detroit sports. I mean, it's pretty bad overall, obviously. That's not what I mean, but maybe a little bit more thoughtful and a little bit more, you know, at times entertaining. We'll see. But I know that this disposition that Pat Caputo had in his awkward question is kind of the source of angst for the diehard and, you know, a little bit more positive Pistons fan. 97.1 The Ticket, the way that some of those guys, Valeni probably being the headliner there, dragging the Pistons through the mud, and well-deserved in a lot of ways. But, you know, it's Pat Caputo that delivered that awkward question. He's goofy, kind of a bumbling guy. And the things he said kind of masked the attitude behind it a little bit. But I think that is representative, that attitude that Pistons fans and old Pistons fans and Detroit fans that are frustrated with this team kind of have. And in some ways, they're looking for something to get mad about, and it's not that easy sometimes. It's hard to say what you mean, and it's hard to put your finger on the thing that you're most upset about. You're just upset about the fact the Pistons aren't good, and the situation is frustrating as a fan. Tom Gores lives in California. It's something that I've never had a problem with at all. He's not around at as many home Pistons games as Pistons fans would like. Again, it's not something I really have ever had a problem with. That's modern ownership. You know, did Pat imply in his question that Pistons players should be working out in the summer at the Pistons practice facility in suburban Detroit at the Palace? I mean, that's such a weird thing to ask. I mean, we all know pro athletes, first of all, they live where they want to live, and that happens to be the LA area for a lot of NBA players in the offseason. And what are we going to do, force them to stay in Detroit? I mean, these are guys that are very loyal to Detroit during the season. They say all the right things. They do all the right things. They have, you know, a great image as far as the off-the-court stuff with this Detroit Pistons team. So, you know, to imply that we need to be forcing these players and the not knowing the practice facility situation that Pat, as he delivered the question, which this facility sounds like it should be great. It's right in the News Center area in downtown Detroit, and it isn't ready until next year. And just the fact that Pat kind of talks about that and how the team has, you know, gained in valuations over the past part of the time that Gores has owned it, just awkward. And it's just a weird moment for Detroit media there, especially as they're trying to put their best foot forward for this new era Pistons fandom as well, and Pistons era here. But the NBA has kind of like this unique way of making fans and followers think they know a lot better than the people in charge. And I think the Stan Van Gundy era is a little bit complicated when we look back at those 4 years. Obviously fell short over the past couple of years, given the expectations set up in part by his own success of year two, making things happen very quickly, getting into the playoffs with that young team after the kind of the mess that he inherited. But it's also hard to argue that it was a little bit of a success given where the franchise was at 4 years ago. And I know a lot of you guys don't want to hear that, but I can also see the fan just sitting there listening to Pistons playoff playback every day on the Locked On Pistons show and thinking that I'm crazy for holding this proud franchise to such a low bar of standards. And I don't. I'm not saying that that's okay, that the Pistons just got a little bit better in 4 years. And it's a confounding franchise, but it's also an interesting one. And maybe I overthink things a little bit about the Pistons doing this daily podcast, and most of the Detroit fans have pretty much forgotten about the Pistons. And that's the bigger problem, the bigger story when we look at the fan base in general. But it's somewhat fascinating to see this, to kind of view this town in this team in this lens. It's really an interesting prism to view a lot of things through in these sporting times, and kind of looking forward to following along with the Dwayne Casey era and seeing where this whole thing takes us with the Detroit Pistons in this city, in this era, in this state. So we'll be talking about Malik Rose a little bit after the break, the former Spurs role player who looks like it could be a big part of the future for the franchise in Detroit. But if your company wants to reach men between the ages of 18 and 44, you should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if that demo sounds good to you, this is your spot. Plus, we've got reasonable rates. So email me at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes!
A little bit later, we got Pistons playoff playback. As you know, since we couldn't live in the present this spring, and now summer, happy summer, by the way, we will relive the past with the Detroit Pistons in the playoffs. Another quick couple of plugs today. For your post-draft coverage, you should be checking me out, as I'll be making my debut for the Detroit News on DTNews.com. I guess you could also put in DetroitNews.com on your browser and you'll find it. I'll be handing out first round draft grades to teams tonight during the first round. That should be available late Thursday night after the first round concludes, possibly Friday morning. I'm not exactly sure when it'll go up on the website. We'll pass along the links on social media there. Thanks to the Detroit News for giving me that chance to do that on the website. I look forward to writing more for them going forward, and I'll be keeping you guys posted on all that. And the Locked On NBA mock draft, as you're getting ready for the draft coming up in a few hours here, it's out there. So get ready with your last minute preparations. Check that out. All of the war rooms of all the different podcasts made the picks for their teams. And it was a really interesting one. It's as I've been doing my research, getting ready to cover it for the news. That's been one of my better sources out there as well. And we did the last episode on Thursday. That's out now with all the picks, five-parter, I believe. So the Locked On Podcast Network, we got the local experts on the biggest stories, so check it out. Big story in Detroit, in addition to Dwayne Casey coming into town, is another name that was floated on a Wednesday early on in the day, Malik Rose, the G League Executive of the Year from the Atlanta Hawks organization last year, and the two-time NBA champion as a player with the San Antonio Spurs during his 13-year NBA career. Shams Charania of Yahoo Sports, one of the bigger newsbreakers out there in the internet as far as NBA news, broke about noontime here in Chicago on Wednesday that on Twitter, the Detroit Pistons have offered a front office role to Atlanta Hawks executive Malik Rose, and sides are in conversation toward a deal, league sources tell Yahoo. Rose was awarded G League Executive of the Year this past season with Erie. So Malik Rose could be on his way to Detroit. It could be any minute that deal is finalized. No reason to believe that won't happen. From connecting the dots a little bit from all the Ed Stefanski talk as far as the front office and what Vince Ellis and some of the more connected guys are telling us about the organization, is that Ed Stefanski could end up in one of these roles of the front office and whatever that title is going to be. And Tom Gores talked about that during the press conference on Wednesday as well. Whether Stefanski ultimately becomes the president of basketball operations and or general manager, or maybe both roles for now, and maybe the Malik Rose type ends up being elevated to general manager, if not at first, maybe down the road, we will see. But it sounds like Malik Rose could be probably an assistant general manager for the Pistons right now. I did some research on him. He's a Philly guy, so that's where we're at, and maybe that's the connection that we were all kind of waiting for with Ed Stefanski in this front office. The Philly guys are invading Detroit right now, and we know guys like Stoney of 97.1 who was on the show a couple weeks, so I guess probably a month or so back now, probably enjoys having that familiarity. It's a city that I've never been to, by the way, and I've always kind of wanted to check out Philly, and I will soon. I got some friends who live in the suburbs there, and also a cousin of mine lives downtown too, so hopefully I'll get to Philly at some point. Malik Rose played at Drexel, was a second-round pick for the Charlotte Hornets back in the day, and he was involved in player development with the Atlanta Hawks, and this past season was his own first year with the G League team, was with the big club before that. Seems like his role was more so in scouting, more so that player development than, you know, scouting and or analytics, given he didn't have the coaching background. And as far as I know, he has not been connected with a deep propensity for analytics, but I could be wrong about those things. We'll find out more about Malik Rose kind of going forward. Like I said, won titles with the Spurs in 1999 and 2003. And also played with those Charlotte Hornets, the New York Knicks, and the Oklahoma City Thunder, and served as an analyst for Oklahoma City and the Philadelphia 76ers, by the way, where I mentioned he is from. So has been on TV a little bit before he kind of joined the front office ranks. And, you know, we talked about the Kenny Smith hiring possibility as coach for the Pistons. And I'm not saying a person being on TV is a bad thing. I think it's actually a very good thing for their development as a basketball mind. We saw Rick Carlisle do that before he became, you know, the successful run that he's had in his coaching career, do that for 1 year. Steve Kerr, obviously, is another name that comes to mind. But a guy like Kenny Smith, who's never at all been with an organization on that side, as a coaching side or a front office side, I'm dubious about that kind of thing. A guy like Malik Rose has spent 3 years with Atlanta, put in the work with that organization, and the team that really is into their player development and has made some picks over the last couple of years of guys that have contributed right away, second-round picks, the Dorsey kid that they have there, who's been a contributor with them. You know, and that's a bad team, so obviously it's easier to give playing time to fringe guys and second-round guys and G League guys when you're a losing situation. But it's evidence that he's been able to find some players, and as an organization, they've been able to develop some players as well. At 43 years old, a young mind, relatively speaking, and a good mind with that Atlanta Hawks organization, with some championship pedigree as a player, been around the San Antonio situation, which we know is something that's been very coveted by NBA teams this offseason as well. But looking back with the NBA teams in the past, how about some championships? We're going back to Pistons playoff playback, and today that's not going to be a championship situation, but an NBA Finals situation nonetheless. Since we can't live it in the present, we will relive the past a little bit. But you should also be checking out the Locked On Lions podcast with Matt Derry. We got you covered here on the Locked On Podcast Network with your team every day. Time now for Pistons playoff playback, going back to June 21st, 2005, so 13 years ago to the day. Pistons still reeling from the Robert Horry game in Game 5, which was on a Sunday night in Auburn Hills on Father's Day. So 2 nights later, on a Tuesday, the Pistons are back in San Antonio for Game 6. Obviously, Detroit up against elimination, down 3-2 in this one. More of a desperate team than Greg Popovich's San Antonio Spurs, who knew they had the game in hand and the fallback of possibly playing at home in a Game 7 if they weren't able to win that one. So Detroit came out like they needed to win and did just that, playing like dogs, getting a 95-86 victory in Game 6. The teams played closely throughout the first half. The Pistons got a bit of a cushion in the third quarter, but the Spurs cut it to one with about 5 minutes to go. But Rasheed Wallace was huge after that, scoring 7 points in a three-minute stretch. And if you remember back then, that's a lot of points for that era in 3 minutes for one guy back in the going-to-work days. This going back, watching this game a little bit, got me thinking about this draft. You know, it's just a second-round pick for the Pistons. But I would like to see Ed Stefanski, a Philly guy, understand the culture of the Detroit Pistons maybe a little bit more than Stan Van Gundy did. Go out and get a dude. Go out and make a statement. Get a tough guy with that second round pick. You know, I've been thinking of doing these Pistons playoff playbacks, been thinking so much about your Lambeers and your Mahorns, your Ben Wallace, your Chauncey Billups, Isaiah freaking Thomas, one of the toughest guys in NBA history. Get a guy with that toughness and that desire. I think it's been missing with this group these past 10 years or so. Someone with a little bit of the heart on their sleeve. And I know my opinion might be a little simple on this, and it's an easy way to look at things. But that's what we want here in Detroit, and that's what I'm looking for with this pick and the moves that this team should be making this summer to kind of sprinkle in a little bit with this roster that is already presently constructed for the most part. But going back to 2005, RIP Tayshaun, Ben Wallace all played 44 minutes. Chauncey was on the court for 39. Rashid only played about 26 minutes because he was in foul trouble. So McDice came out and played 28 minutes. So Larry Brown just rolled with his guys, just threw his guys out there and said, go get this road win, go beat these guys so we can do what we can to try to be repeat champions. The scoring was spread out. On the Pistons' perspective, 23 points for Rip Hamilton in this one, 21 for Chauncey, 16 for Sheed in those limited minutes. And looking back in this series, just another kind of indication, I still really think that Manu Ginobili should have been Finals MVP. Duncan was, and I think it was a little bit disappointing during the season, actually. He got 20 and 14 in the series overall, Tim Duncan did, while Manu was 18.7 points per game, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists. Tim Duncan shot 42% from the field in this 7-game series, and he's a big man, so that's not very good at all, obviously, for one of the best big men of all time. And I'm a Tim Duncan fan. I love Tim Duncan, one of my favorite players of all time, really. 67% from the free throw line, including 4 for 11 in Game 5. If Robert Horry doesn't do what Robert Horry did in the fourth quarter and in overtime of that game, we remember that Tim Duncan kind of pissed away that game in some ways for the San Antonio Spurs if he wasn't saved by Robert Horry. Then, furthermore, Tim Duncan went 10 for 27 on field goals in Game 7, not very good, while Manu was 8 for 13 and made all the big plays down the stretch in Game 7. And when you're talking about a Finals MVP of a series that was 4 blowouts to start, it comes down to that Game 5, Game 6, and Game 7, and Manu was huge in Game 7, more efficient, and then made the bigger plays down the stretch, while Tim Duncan was, like I said, really struggling in Game 5, almost gave that game away, and you can't really give Finals MVP to Robert Horry, despite the fact that he made the biggest plays in the biggest game of that series, but, you know, maybe you'd consider him, I guess, but again, my vote would have been for Manu Ginobili in that one, and just made a lot of big plays and was kind of a thorn in the side, as he has been throughout his entire career. I almost said it in the past tense. We still haven't heard if Ginobili will be coming back next year or not. But the last really good memory on Pistons playoff playback, I hope you've enjoyed this series. We'll have one more. You know what it is. Game 7 of this series, the last and the latest in the calendar that the Pistons ever went, was the 2005 NBA Finals. So thanks for joining us on this ride for Pistons playoff playback. Give us a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Lockdown Pistons Twitter account as well. Close to 1,000, getting up close to 900. So let's get to 1,000 here by the next month or so as free agency is upon us. And also give us a like on the Facebook page, Lockdown Pistons Matt Shook, approaching 1,000 on that as well. So give us a rating and review on iTunes. And thanks for joining us. Enjoy the draft tonight. Should be an entertaining one. And we will follow up with another episode on Friday here on Lockdown Pistons. Thanks again, everyone.